When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
So here I am, episode 200, and necessity has demanded that I don't do the big rite of passage special event episode. Like I talked about in episode 199, was I gonna honor the effort of doing 200 episodes of a thing by doing an extra special episode, or does it do more honor to the work to just plow on and continue making it as best you can? Time considerations have led me toward the latter and just do the best I can and just check in with another essay slash reflection. I don't know, as I record this, I don't know if it's being picked up. Looking at the waveform, it looks like it is. But I'm actually not in my car. I'm in my classroom at the Ann Arbor Art Center. So I wound up getting here a little bit early so I could record my Thunder Punch Daily 200 and hopefully put in a little bit of time on Boulder and Fleet, page 54, inking. Because this morning, actually, I just got out from this event called, I don't remember if I mentioned this, I think I did. This event that I did called Your Game from the Ground Up, where I and an organization called GameStart, and actually Nate Aschenbach of GameStart, was on a recent episode of the Lean into Artcast. We talked with him about designing games. So Nate and I worked with this organization called the Neutral Zone, which is this teen advocacy organization in Ann Arbor, and it was sponsored by Toyota, where we put together a whole day of interactive workshopping where teens created their own cast of characters and then turned those characters into sprites and then using the Unity platform built a game for their characters with their characters in it. I think the app they were using to develop the pixels or the sprites was called Piscal, P-I-S-C-A-L, which I think we talked about a little bit with Nate on the Lean into Artcast. Anyway, 50 teens, 50 kids in this room, all ranging from like ages 15 to 18. And I don't know if you've ever gotten in front of a crowd of teens before, but it can be a little unnerving. Like at 9 o'clock this morning when I was on my way there, I was like, whew, here we go again. I'm going to have to win the trust of a whole mess of teens. And unlike my 8-week classes where I have lots of time to fail and pick up the pieces and learn from my mistakes, this kind of event where I'm only really doing how long was my workshop? It was like an hour and 40 minutes. That's all the time I got to win their hearts and get them to produce stuff. Now, I'll you know, not bury the lead and say like I won their trust and I think it was a successful workshop. But with this qualification, or this qualifier, I should say, I'm in a privileged position with a lot of my events that I do in that I wind up teaching at events or in places where the kids have to want to be there, right? They have to sign up for this thing. They have to travel to come to this thing, or they have to pay to be a part of this thing. So winning the trust of kids who are already kind of on board with what you're doing isn't that big of a feat. But it is easy to fall off the boat because, as we all remember when we were teenagers, you are constantly in fear of being judged, and often that fear manifests itself by you judging other people. So if you don't play your cards right, you can lose their trust fairly quickly. But I felt like it was a successful event. All the kids drew, you know, and some of them expressed some trepidation about it, but they still did it anyway. I got to watch them take these drawings of characters and turn them into moving game sprites, which was super, super fun to see. And a design constraint I put on the kids that to help better translate their characters into, you know, 32-bit pixels was I had them work in crayon, which was super fun because you got to hear like a couple of kids really like, oh, we got to draw this in crayon. I want to draw it well. We'll see if you can draw it well in crayon. And then that limitation made it so that their character converted well to the 32-bit platform. Some kids still hack the game and like were like, well, you may want me to draw in crayon, but I'm going to draw it in pencil anyway. That was fine. And those kids just had more of a design challenge ahead of them in simplifying the character down. But this whole idea of winning their trust, and it reminded me of something that Rob and I have talked about in the Lean Into Artcast a lot, is that nothing happens without trust. Like, you can't, like, outside of, like, conscripting the kids, right? Like, saying, like, I command you to do this thing, which can only go so far before you get rebellion. If I can't get them to trust in me and trust in the activity, then, you know, not much is going to get accomplished in the room. And I've had rooms kind of implode on me before where, you know, I lose the kids' trust and they don't really draw all that much. Or they what they draw is like something that's like not at all what the assignment asked for, or maybe even was, it's like an outright rebellion of the assignment. Not, there's a difference between hacking the assignment and rebelling against the assignment. A hacking is taking the rules that I've established, the ground rules of the game or the assignment, and finding a workaround to do what they want that still meets the requirements of what I wrote up on the board. And I love it when that happens. I applaud it, I congratulate it, and I do everything I can to honor that kid's cleverness. But rebelling against it is saying, like, either I won't do it, or I'm going to sort of draw something that has nothing to do with what you're talking about, and I'm not even going to engage with you about what I'm drawing, because at that point, I'll usually try to start up a dialogue saying, like, hey, you know, what's so interesting about this particular thing? Why do you like drawing this? What is it about this particular subject that's so fascinating to you? I'd love to talk about it and see, you know, if we can dig into that as a teachable moment for you. I don't say it in those words, obviously, but there's a difference between rebelling and hacking is all I was trying to drive at there. Nobody was really rebelling against the activity today. Everybody seemed to be on board with it. And part of it's dicey doing the character design workshop the way I do it now, where I don't let them in on everything that they're doing. So really winning their trust becomes that much more, I don't want to say delicate, but maintaining their trust becomes a delicate thing, I should say. Yeah. And so how, like, what, looking back, like, what did I do to achieve that trust today? You know, I don't want to just turn it into a platitude of, you know, be yourself, but it kind of is that. It kind of is being, I mean, it's being a version of myself that's more in tune with what I think their needs are, right? Okay, so like, there is like, if you throw being yourself on something and just say, be yourself no matter what, there's a kind of a imposing yourself onto the scene. I'm going to be myself. If you don't like it, you can take a hike, right? This is who I am, man. You don't, you know, you can't deal. There's a difference between that and being an honest version of yourself that is listening to and tailoring its message for a specific kind of audience, right? Thinking about what it was like when I was a teen, thinking about what I needed to hear when I was a teen, what my understanding of things was when I was a teen, right? Or take that, not even just age group, but also experience level, right? Like, I poll the room. Who here likes to draw? Who here thinks they're good at drawing? Who here's ever drawn something and didn't like what they drew? Getting a sense of what their experience level is with drawing, and then being able to tailor my message that way. So it's not to, and it's not about not going into advanced material, because I think advanced material even can be talked about in a way that's useful for a beginner, but talk about it in a way where the path to the knowledge is, it reflects their worldview and experience as much as possible. And so then we get to, in order to achieve trust, you have to practice empathy. You know, this is all the kind of user experience stuff that Rob and I talk about in the Lean Into Artcast. More Rob than me. Rob's usually teaching me this stuff, or at least helping me to name what I'm naturally doing in my classrooms. But you know, really getting inside the heads of those kids, or at the very least, getting inside of the head of my own head when I was 16 and asking myself, what would I find trustworthy? What bits of my experience at that point can I draw upon to craft my message? So, in other words, like, here's a little tiny example. Kids always ask you, You know, how do you get good at this thing? How do you start leveling up at this stuff? And I remember what it was like when I'm drawing a thing and it's frustrating because it's not coming out right the first time, and I don't want to have to draw it 60 times in order to get it. I want to know the secret. I want to know the trick to get it right, right? That's not the time for me to sit down and go like, well, welcome to real life, son. You just got to grind and grind and grind until it gets better, you know? That's not helpful. So you try to talk with them about what it's precisely they're trying to achieve and see if you can give them one little new way to think about it. Like, well, if you think about the arm as like this kind of a tube and like the forearm is this kind of a tube, maybe that's not the exact path to getting it right, but you're giving them a way of looking at shape and looking at structure to help them iterate. And then remind them, okay, now it's going to take some iterations. Probably going to take a couple tries, but I know you can do it, right? But then I talked a little bit, or I mentioned a little bit about this notion of being yourself. And what do I mean by that? Like being yourself, but in a tailored way. I talked about the tailored way, but then the being yourself way is, boy, this one, I think I have nothing to report on except experience. Like I can only say that the only reason that I'm able to do this is because I have a lot of experience in working with kids. But not telegraphing your fear of public speaking, right? It's not that they're like ravenous lions and they're gonna eat you alive if you show that you're afraid. But when you're afraid and you react defensively, even preemptively defensively, it comes off as uncomfortable, right? We've all had a conversation at a party with somebody who was, you know, nervous about something, and it makes it just look even a little bit kind of uncomfortable. So part of the trick there in winning trust is being relaxed and being okay with who I am. And even if I'm making jokes that register as corny or dumb, which I did, and one of the kids sarcastically said, I like this guy, you know, but being okay with that and rolling with it and laughing at their jokes about me, not laughing at me, but laughing at the fact that this is a humorous moment. And that's a tricky thing. I think that's part of the reason that I was able to pull it off today. This is me reflecting. I don't know. I would be super interested in like an outside observer reporting on this. And this is actually something I need to put on my list of things to do, is get a trusted friend to sit in on one of my classes and critique the experience for me, just as a check-in to see how I'm doing. Because self-critique, self-reflection can only go so far. You need another data point after all. So, yeah, so now I need to sit down and start working on my Boulder and Fleet page 54 inks. Finish that before my teen manga studio class starts at 4:00 today. And then after that, I think I'm going to, this will be my rite of passage celebration after finishing episode 200, is that this was an intense week of teaching. I don't know if it's registering my voice. I can feel it in my voice that it's getting a little blasted out from so much talking lately. And I'm looking forward to tonight just kind of crashing and maybe doing a little bit of doodling for myself while the TV plays in the background and just being quiet. So who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter. Thank you for downloading and listening. Thanks to anybody, if anybody out there has actually listened to all 200 episodes of this, wow, thank you. Thanks for being with the show all these years. And I will say that this is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, twitter.com/artsoundoff, where I and a bunch of other visual storytellers are getting together and recording little audio essays and journals every day for the month of November 2015. This was the entry for November 19th, 2015. And these will be all archived at artsoundoff.com when we're all done. And will I do a celebratory thing with episode 201? Maybe. We'll see how Friday looks. Maybe I'll do it Saturday. I'm not sure. I mean, does it have to fall on episode 201? Or episode 200, rather? That would have been nice, but circumstances made it what it is. So maybe I'll do it on another day, and it'll just be like, we're celebrating your birthday on Tuesday instead of on Monday, you know? Either way, it's been super, super fun doing these little essays, and it's super fun in the broad sense, because it's not always fun every day when I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's a struggle and it's a challenge when you're doing it, but when you're done with it, you're glad you did it, you know? So there's 200 in the can, and let's see if I can get to 300. Okay, which means, you know, that's my signal to say it's, you know, I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Orko certainly helped us out in today's adventure, and he learned a good lesson, too. He made a promise to the Ice Lord he thought he could break, but Adam showed him you shouldn't make a promise knowing you're not going to keep it. People judge you by many things, your appearance, your honesty, the way you act. Those things show your character. When you make a promise and don't keep it, it shows bad character. So always think before you speak and mean what you say. That way what you say will be respected. See you again soon.